Lord, we give it all to you. Lord, we hold nothing back. Nothing. Even all the things you've given us, we heap them upon you. All the things you've blessed us, we heap it upon you. Everything you've given us, we give it back to you with joy. We give it back. Because we know you'll turn it into something great for your glory. Your glory. Your glory. Open our eyes to the reality of your throne, your dominion, your might. Open our eyes to the reality of the greatness and the power and the majesty. Open our eyes to see. Not just to see, but to come. To come and experience, to come and taste. You said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I pray that won't just be a saying, but that you'll give us the eyes and ears and tongue to taste and see, to encounter God in a real and living way. One touch is all we need, one touch. We ask for more, but one touch is life-changing. Sanctified, one with him. You've been purchased and bought with a price. You're not like the rest of the world. You've been purchased with the most valuable thing in the universe, the most precious thing there is, the blood. So valuable, he said, I will leave all my reputation. I will lay aside my glory. I will go and become like nothing, be spit upon, mocked, destroyed, because I want to purchase something that is of such great value to me. I'll leave it all to go shed blood for that one and that one and that one and that one and that one, because they are that precious to me. Don't underestimate the value that you have to God. We need to see with God's eyes. And the only way to do that is to join him. Being apart from him will not help you see how he sees, and it won't help you live life better, as though God is far and you're seeking him to do it for you. We must come to a place of joining him, intimacy, encounter, call it what you will, but we must come to a place where we lay down all of our opinions, all of our great knowledge, all of the stuff we think we've learned, trade it all, because we stand before the one who is all knowledge. All wisdom, all revelation. And when we come into his presence, and we come as children, you know why it's important to come as children? Because children know that they don't know. Adults think they know, but they don't know. We are to become like children who come before God and say, Daddy, show me, teach me, I don't really get it. Lay aside all your stuff outside the door, all your stuff, your worries, your bothers, your cares, your burdens, lay them all. I don't care. Everybody's got stuff. Everybody's got things going on. Everybody has troubles. You know, no one is exempt from that. That's earth stuff. But you are called to live where your citizenship is. Your citizenship is in heaven. You were never intended to live in earth as though you're separated from heaven or God. That's not the plan. Read your Bible. It's not the plan. The plan was that you live in a physical body. Yes, your body's stuck here for a while. But that you, the real you, your spirit man, your born again spirit, the new you, is to come to understand the things of the kingdom through fellowship and encounter and experience. See, the Word of God is awesome. It's absolute truth, and it's truth spelled out so brilliantly that it is a window to heaven. Where we get in trouble is when we read it with our intellect alone. Our intellect doesn't have the capacity. I'm talking about our human intellect. Doesn't have the heavenly capacity to gain revelation of the Scriptures, but by the Spirit. So when we use the Word of God, it's a window to the kingdom. And when we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit to teach us, He'll take the Word of God and explode it in revelation knowledge. Not head knowledge. And revelation knowledge is what heals. Revelation knowledge is what changes. It's heaven that overrides earth, not your head knowledge. You can be brilliant. There are brilliant, brilliant people in the Word of God. And I love them and God bless them, but they're failing because they've not understood the revelation of heaven regarding the Word of God. And it's vast. It's so vast, no one human knows it all. We see in part, we know in part. But as we come like children and sit before Him and encounter Him and interact with Him, it's called a relationship. There's a oneness that's supposed to come. One, one, one. And the greater that your oneness becomes, the more you can think His thoughts, see how He sees, hear how He hears, feel what He feels. It's not always easy because sometimes you get His heart on a subject and it's not, you know, He's disturbed about something. God's trying to teach us a whole new way of doing Christianity and following Christ. That's a holy way. It's holy. Holy, set apart, sanctified. Not to be meddled with by the earth. You have to walk in the earth, but you're sanctified or set apart unto heaven. You are a holy creature on the inside. If you're born again, that's a holy thing. That's a holy vessel. So He said He wouldn't pour it into old wineskins. You must be born again. When you're born again, you get a new wineskin. Then what? You get baptized in the Spirit. He pours in the new wine because now you have a new wineskin. Because an old wineskin cannot house the new wine, can it? So you must be born again. But if you're born again, you have been made new, not just forgiven, but made completely new. In the Spirit, you actually shine with the glory and power of God. Why don't we see it on everyone in the body? Because what spirit they are married to is what spirit they emanate. If a person who's born again marries an evil spirit, willingly, knowingly, or unknowingly, okay? They will manifest that thing. A person who loves God can get a religious spirit, and you can hardly be around the person without being aware of the religion, right? Does it mean they don't love God? No, they probably do love God. But they've been dabbling. They've been dabbling. A person who's born again but plays with the spirit of lust will manifest that thing. You'll actually feel it. You know, if they're about 3 feet away, you can feel something like, what is that creepiness? What is that? Do you ever stand next to somebody and it's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Doesn't mean we don't love them. Doesn't mean they're not born again. But if they've been playing in the mud, they have mud on them, and they will manifest that. A worship leader who's not clean spiritually will release whatever spirit's on them. So we have to be careful who we date. Just seeking the Lord if I'm supposed to do any prophetic keyboard or just go with this. I feel like he's saying go with it. Lori had a dream this morning. And dreams are parables. And in this dream, a young man, he was actually a boy about 12, and he was sitting next to his friend, and his friend was asking about the facts of life, and the young man had never been taught properly. He didn't know the facts of life. So he was telling all the wrong facts to this other boy because they were really clueless about the facts of life. I grew up in a house where my parents, they were awesome, but they were not saved, and they were very, we just didn't talk about those things, so you were going to learn it from your neighbor because you were not going to learn it at home. So my next-door neighbor, her parents had a book, and they gave her the book, and she read the facts of life in the book, and we were about probably fifth or sixth grade, and she told me, and I thought, that can't be right. Surely not. That can't be the method. But the dream was a parable, and I knew when she told me the dream, we knew that the boy didn't represent a boy. He represented the body of Christ, who did not understand the facts of heavenly life. And he did not understand how fruit or babies are really made. So if you know anything about verbal language, one of the first things you'll ever learn is that a baby in a dream or in a vision is, generally speaking, a ministry, your life calling, your purpose. It's something of your life that you are going to bring forth. It's the fruit of your life, whether you are male or female. Whether you're male or female, you are considered a bride to Jesus. Paul was very clear that the marriage represented Christ in the church. People do not this is a real revelation to be gotten about marriage. It's a holy thing because it is a picture of the Father putting a seed into his bride. The seed is meant to come forth in its fullness. Does it take time? Yeah, it takes time. You don't give birth the minute you have the encounter. Mary had a holy encounter. Now you notice that the angel came to give her the message, but she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit to get the seed. It wasn't the angel that brought the seed, right? Because you know what? When angels bring a seed, remember, think about the Old Testament. Women, I don't know how this all worked. Women got with angels and they had big monsters, didn't they? Big giants. It says so in the Bible. You can look it up. I didn't make that up. The angel didn't bring the seed. He told her about it, prepared her for it, and then the Holy Ghost overshadowed her and put a holy, utterly pure seed from God into her to birth something holy. She was a container. Listen, we're talking about the bride here. It's a picture of the bride bringing forth Jesus Christ on the last day. God has to put something in us. Do you understand? There has to be an encounter. There has to be intimacy with God. There has to be relationship. And if you're still stuck in the do's and don'ts and the performance thing, you will never have a baby. You will not bear fruit for God, because performance does not bear fruit. Doing for God doesn't bear fruit. It's intimacy and relationship. I'm speaking as unto wise. Okay? I'm speaking parable. I'm speaking Holy Ghost. I'm believing that you can hear me. Church and worship and hearing great sermons, that's all good. It's to build you up. That's all good. But there's only one way to fully develop what you were put here to do, and that's relationship, oneness. You ever think about why Satan tries so hard to get young men and women involved outside of marriage first? What he hates is the holy thing that God does. And he knows that true marriage is a picture of that holy thing. He hates it. It drives him buggy. That's why he tries so hard to get people divorced. He tries people to get perverse. Okay, not to get in anybody's underwear drawer, but a woman with a woman will never bear a seed. A man with a man will never bear the fruit. Never. It just won't work. It doesn't work. And the real issue, people are all political about it, but the real issue is God is trying to show a picture of Christ in the church. And the holiness of that thing, when we encounter him for real, you know, some of you, I'm seeing God wants to peel away some of the religious ideas. Well, if I do this and I do this and I do this. Well, the one thing we need to do, we need to listen to the Bible when it says, come into the Holy of Holies. When we come in with true worship, okay, when we come in to worship him, not because of what we'll get, and God, we will get, believe me, there's a million teachings out there on what you will get when you worship, and it's all true. But that's not why we worship. I mean, at least that's not why I worship. I worship because I'm a woman in love. I fell in love with Jesus. There is nobody like Jesus, and if you don't really have that fervent love, you need more of a revelation of him. Because to see him is to love him. To encounter him is to love him. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody. If he decided he wanted a new universe, you know that all he'd have to do is say, let there be. Do you know anybody like that? I mean, he's amazing. He only ever does what's good. Who do you know like that? He only ever says what's right and true. He's so full of love that he's always looking for what's best for you. Did you know that? You pray a prayer, give me this and this and this. And you know, the way he thinks, he says, well, will that really be good for her? Will that really be good for him? I see that A and C and D will be good for that person, but B won't. He's always looking for what will be the best for his kid. Isn't that amazing? That's who he is. It's not what he does, it's who he is. He doesn't have goodness, he is goodness, right? He doesn't have holiness, he is holy. He doesn't just have love, he is love. He can't not love. I said he can't not love you. You're his kid. God is trying to get people to peel off all the layers of churchianity, religion, false teaching, to come into a place like a child and say, you know, I don't even know how to ask for this. I don't even have the words to say. I just know I need something more, and you have it. That's what I know. And I want to keep coming until something from you rubs off on me. Something from you fills me. Something from you changes me. God's trying to encounter us. And not so, you know, if you're seeking God for the encounter, for the sake of the encounter, you probably won't have an encounter. But if you come to understand, an encounter will change you. It changes every time. In the whole of my life, every time I've had any kind of moment with God, whether it's him saying a word to me, talking to me, given me a little touch, a scripture is highlighted to me. Maybe I have a little encounter in heaven. Maybe I have a worship time where something is interchanged. Not one time, and I'm talking about probably thousands of times, not one time did it ever not have an impact or make a change in me. Because, listen, you were born and bred in heaven. If you're born again, you are from heaven. Your spirit man. I'm not talking about your flesh, okay? Not talking about all your mistakes and all your past and all your issues. We all have stuff, right? I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about that holy thing that he put on the inside of you. It's holy. It's eternal. And when your body drops, the day you die, your body will probably fall to the floor unless you're laying down. But your born again spirit will not be changed because it's holy. It was created after the image of his holiness. That spirit man will step forth. Holy. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And so that person in you, that's the person you need to feed. That's the person you need to have that person drink your born again spirit. If you only feed the external man, if you only feed the external man with input, pictures, movies, stuff that's not holy, what happens is whichever part of you you focus on grows strong and obtains rulership, okay? So when you continue to feed stuff to your flesh that's not holy or pure, your flesh gains ascension over your spirit man. And most Christians, I'm going to say something brutal, but to be really honest, if you looked at the whole of the Christian church, we love them, and I'm starting to pray for the whole church like I have not prayed before. Because what's happened is we have understood Christianity in completely earthly tones. And so our Christianity is so earthly, it's not very much good. It's not any heavenly good, right? Because the flesh has gained ascendancy. I just got a request for yet another church split where people are justifying themselves and saying, you're wrong. No, I'm right. You're wrong. It's like, okay, everybody's in the flesh. Stop it right now. Because right now you're saying, I'm first, Jesus is last. That's what you're saying. You think you're saying, I'm right and you're wrong. But what you're saying is, I'm more important than what Jesus wants to do here. Right? Yeah. We need to learn how to take the last place. It's like, Jesus, what are you doing in this? What are you wanting to do in this? See, you are a heavenly creature, whether you like it or not. And if you starve your spirit man, it will shrivel up and be so weak. And then when you have a problem and you try to win, you can't win. You have to come to somebody that's been feeding their spirit man, doing their spiritual exercises. I would love to start someday a spiritual gym. I would. I'm serious. I would love to have the dough to have a big building where you can go from room to room. In the first room, you'd sit in a chair, one of those like chairs that's, you know, kind of cozy, and you'd put on earphones and we would pump the word of God into your brain with some soaking music. We'd pump it right in your brain. Now you'd do that for about an hour. Then you'd go into the next room and we'd just soak in the spirit. You go into the next room, somebody pray, we'd build you up because people go to the gym every day. That's great. You know, Paul even said that exercise profits a little, but godliness profits all things. Why don't we have a gym for that? Because you know what, if we don't have some disciplines in our life, we will starve. Have you ever been dehydrated? When you're really dehydrated, you get stupid. I was in Nova Scotia. I was actually in Halifax traveling one time. You know, I'm alone. I'm in a foreign country, right? I'm in Halifax. And I'm walking around and I start to feel just really stupid, like really dull. And really tired and faint. And the Lord speaks to me, says, Holly, you're dehydrated. Get into a restaurant. And I would walk up, and you know, you're kind of dumb when you're dehydrated. Because you're just, there's not enough water. I walk up to the menu on the wall, and I go, I'm not really hungry. I don't really want any. The Lord would practically yell, Holly, you're dehydrated. Get into, he didn't even care what restaurant, just get into a restaurant. Get some water in you. So I finally, just, you know, because I knew his voice, okay, I'll obey you. I didn't want anything. Because when you're dehydrated, you don't want to drink. Do you hear me in the spirit? When you're dehydrated, you don't want to drink and you don't want to eat. But that's when you need to. Not talking about your physical body, I'm talking about your spirit man. You have to have food, you have to have water. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He knew how to eat. Come and dine. He knew how to eat the food of heaven. And you know why? He knew he had to. Because he's surrounded by idiots, as they would say. I think they say that in Ireland, idiots. He was surrounded by people who, love him or not love him, were clueless about the way it works. They're trying to give him earthly food. He's like, nope, don't eat that right now. I have a food that you don't know of. And that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me going. Strong, healthy, whole. God is trying to do a thing to teach us the ways of God. Because if you get the ways of God, you don't have to fail. Does it mean you won't have hits? No, you'll still have hits, but it will be like a flea, you know. Oh, it's a flea. No, I mean, seriously. Because if you build yourself up, I used to, years ago before Edgar, I used to date a guy and talk about somebody, you know, as they say, built like a brick outhouse. This guy was massively huge. I mean, arms like, you know, but he was also like that spiritually, physically and spiritually. The guy was massive. And things that might have bothered somebody else, he'd be like, a flea, you know, right? Spiritually speaking, we can become so, I'm just going to say it, one with God, that for somebody to attack us is a joke because they're really attacking God. I'm not saying you'll have that when you're young in the Lord, but we should have it when we're old in the Lord. The Bible says he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. But we all have that legally, but we don't all have it experientially. Okay? Again, oneness implies what? Marriage. It implies unity. It implies intimacy. Before Edgar came to Illinois, you know, Edgar was absolutely sure he was going to marry me. And I was absolutely sure he was not. And he called me from California. And I said, don't call me. I'm having 30 days with Jesus. I mean, no, I'm not doing dinner with anybody. I'm not meeting with anybody. 30 days, me and Jesus, alone, that's all. And I had already decided to do it. And the day that I started, he called me. I said, now listen, don't call me again. I'm having 30 days with Jesus. I was having a God encounter that night where I was walking into the bridal chamber and the door was about to close. Now, Edgar is in California. Remember, he was a man of the Spirit, okay? So if this is weird, just handle it. I'm going into the bridal chamber. The door is shutting behind me and I hear Edgar yell, Holly! See, God already knew he was going to be my husband. God had ordained it. I didn't know it yet. And I'm going in with my real husband, Jesus, my one and only, the love of my life. Here's the story. Edgar was staying with his son, Bill. And he had a little guest room and there was a futon. And Edgar was laying in there. And he saw a picture of me going in a room and the door closing behind me. And he yelled out loud, literally, yelled out loud, Holly! And his son came running and said, what's going on, Dad? You understand? Things in the spirit are more real than things here. God wants you to develop a relationship. And listen, all this garbage that Satan does to try to keep you out, if you could see it for the reality that is it is, you judging yourself constantly, the whole I'm not worthy, I don't think God wants me, all lies, cobwebs, spider webs to keep you out of the one place that will make you whole. The one place where the seed of God for whoever you really are, whatever you're really called to do. Are you called to do something? Have you received that seed from him? And then once you have gotten it, have you fed it? Have you nurtured it? Have you prayed over it? Have you watered it? Everything we do here was birthed in the Spirit. I'm talking about for 35 years. I'm talking about I knew in my 20s there was a seed. I knew about the baby in my 20s. Had no clue what it meant, how to bring it forth. I didn't have any natural kids. I saw a picture of Holly dying in childbirth, but the baby lived. Didn't have a clue about parables and didn't understand. It was scary to me. I knew it was God. That I knew. I knew God's voice. I knew it was God. What was he saying? I've called you to bring forth something, something that's supposed to live, but guess what? You, Holly, the old Holly, has to die. You know why? A person who's married to the world cannot carry the holiness or the glory of God. When you're too married to the world, you can't do both. God loves you. He doesn't love you less, but you cannot do both. Get in or get out. You know, I've never understood people who have want to have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. This is just me now. Not speaking for God now. This is just Holly. Even when I was a little kid, I could never understand. Why would you want both? You want to sin? Go sin, for pity's sake, but don't pretend. Don't stand in a pulpit and don't come to church with your little Bible and your holy face and then go sin. What is it? Why would you ever want to do that? Either leave the thing behind and come in and get with God, or just go backslide. You know, because I actually think, you know, he said, would that you were cold or hot. In other words, I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Get in or get out. Ooh, that was rough, wasn't it? But the fact is, when we dabble in the world and marry the world and we have too much of the world in us, our flesh gains ascendancy until we are witless and dull. We are witless and dull-minded, dull spiritually. God's talking to us. We can't even hear it. I had to give a word to a so-called, this man called himself a pastor. He was so steeped in sin. I loved the guy. He was a friend. I loved him. And God made me take my little Bible and go give him a tough word. And he was, this is a terrible thing to say, I'm going to tell you what I saw. He looked like rubber in the spirit. He'd gone so far into the flesh. Now, it didn't mean God didn't love him. God loved him enough to send me to warn him, please, please. He did not receive me. He did not receive the word. He ended up going so far. I still don't think he's quite been able to come back. God wants him back. It's not God. It's not God that moved. God doesn't move. It's us that moves. God loves him and wants him back, but he's, you know what happens? Your heart can grow so hard you can no longer hear. You can no longer hear. A sleep overtakes you. Why? You've fed it and fed it and fed it and fed it and fed it. It's dangerous to feed sin. It's dangerous to have a dog called sin that you're always, you keep it at bay, but then you feed it when you want to. That thing, it never stays the same. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm telling you, that thing will never stay the same. It grows stronger and its fangs grow bigger, and one day that thing will eat you for lunch and you will not have the spiritual strength to even cry out to God. Sin should terrify us. I have the fear of the Lord. I don't want to sin. And you know what? God would forgive me if I did, but I don't want. I've watched someone's heart harden. It doesn't happen overnight. It hardens, and then it hardens more, and then it hardens more until they can no longer hear the unction of the Holy Spirit. Don't even get it when God's in the room. Can't feel the presence. They come and they say, well, I used to hear the voice of God. I just don't hear it anymore. And I love them, but I want to say, well, you're dull. You're dull of hearing. Your hearts have grown dull. You're dull of hearing. We love you, but God can circumcise our heart fresh and new like it never happened. I'm talking about like it, as though it never happened. But it behooves us to cry out to God and say, listen, I screwed up. I screwed up 1,000 times, but you're bigger. You can help me. I can't even help myself, but you can help me. And the good news is you want to. No matter how far I've gone, you always want to help me. No matter how far, this is the prodigal son, listen, no matter how far he went pretty far, didn't he? He went way out there. But when he came back, his father, he never even asked him questions, did he? He didn't say, you dirty dog, you spent all the money. Where you been, you bum? No, he didn't say that. He ran. He fell on him and kissed him. He got the best robe like it never happened. But you know, the prodigal son has to take care to stay in the father's house and not wander again, right? We need to choose. I didn't know we were talking about this today, but the Holy Spirit is on me because someone is in danger. There's someone, one person in here. You're actually in danger. of going so far from God that you can no longer hear. What did it say about him? He went to a far country. That's what it says about the prodigal son. He went to a far country. And he was enticed. You know what the Bible says? We are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. We cannot blame the devil. We cannot blame a person. Well, they tempted me. No, you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. That's what the Bible says. The same temptation will not work on everybody. It's what's in you. It pays to pray until that stuff is out of you. If you have a propensity, take time. Take year. I took years and said, get this out of me. Get this out of me. Get me delivered. Get me free. I mean, I wouldn't leave God alone until I was free. I'm not going to, because I didn't want to do something for Jesus and then fall or stumble or go to a far country because I was drawn away of something. Some people are drawn to booze. Some people are drawn to drugs. Some people are drawn to other men, other women. Some people are drawn to all kinds of things. Some people say, well, I don't act it out with a person, but I like porn. It's not so bad as just pictures. Listen to me. It is more addictive than heroin. Pornography takes hold of your mind. And if you steep in it, it will reroute your messaging system until you want free and can't get free. I'm telling you, that dog has big teeth. Don't ever think, it's just pictures. No, it's not just pictures. It's spirits. It's foul spirits. You're not just looking at pictures. I'm sorry. I have to do it. You're not just looking at pictures. Some of those pictures are literally attached to foul spirits, which are living entities. And as you interact, those things come in, okay? And listen, sometimes you got to deal with it to get them out. And you can't do it casually. You got to fight tooth and toenail, but get that out of there. Because you don't want to ever get so dull that your life gets wasted. The whole point, listen, the devil, he doesn't really care if you dabble. He doesn't really care what you do. But what he does care is that you don't ever fulfill your purpose. That's what he cares, that you don't ever marry God, that you don't ever encounter the kingdom, that you don't ever get the seed and bear the fruit, the baby, the child, the children, the ministry, the calling, the prophetic word, the song, whatever, the book you're supposed to write. That's what Satan's worried about, and he's not stupid. He's been around a long time. Well, this one's weak in this area. I'll just dabble this in front of him. This one's weak in that area. I'll just dabble that in front of him. I'll hang that in front of him. This one has a little problem with greed. I'll just dangle that in front of him. I remember knowing how called I was, and the devil fighting me, telling me day and night, you're an idiot, you're a fool, you're not called, you're nobody, I'll never do anything for God. And then one day, that wasn't working. So you know what he did? He brought this guy, I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but I'm telling you now, he brought a man, 6'3", very handsome, very rich, had a baby grand piano in his living room, funny, fun, and this guy was nuts about me. But he was not God's pick. He was involved in the New Age, and he was married. And I'm going to tell you something, I'm not going to lie to you, he looked pretty good. My life had been ruined, destroyed, I had just nothing left, and here comes Mr. Cute, Rich, Funny, piano. And it's the only time in the whole of my life that Satan spoke directly to me. And this is what he said. He said, I will give you this man, and I will leave you alone forever if you'll give up any idea of ministry. Said it to me. How dumb can you get? You know what I said? Well, thank you. Oh, you who said all these years I wasn't called. Thank you for confirming that, yes, in fact, you're nervous. I mean, all that did was give me like a B12 shot. Boom. He always overplays his hand, but you know what? Whatever is your... I'm telling you, he handcrafted that. He went and found that guy. I mean, he went and found the man. Looked, searched high and low. Doll, funny, fun, piano. I mean, I'm telling you. Rich. Right? Because he knew me. He knew enough about me. If you have a weakness in a certain area, do you ever wonder why you could have four houses in a row and four different people and one will be drawn to alcohol, one will be drawn to drugs, one will be drawn to illicit sex. You know, everybody's not the same. Why does one person have a weakness the next guy doesn't have? There's something in us, isn't there? In our flesh. It's gotten a strong hold. It's taken a root. It is worth the time it takes. If you have to pray, you pray. If you have to pray, I had to pray for a long time. Not just about that guy, but just I wanted free, 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 free. I wanted to be wholly his. W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly his. I mean holy. That's a lot bigger word than you might think. That doesn't just have to do with men and women. That has to do with houses, cars, dreams, aspirations, stuff I wanted, things I thought I knew. When you want to be wholly his, that means everything else is not yours anymore. That's why Holly had to die. But how much do you want? How much do you want the child that God has given to you? How much do you want that prophetic ministry? Because to me, I remember reading what Paul said. He said that he'd finished his course. He ran his race. He'd finished his course. It was like he said, I did it. There, I did it. He was ready to go home, and he knew it. He had accomplished what he was put on earth to accomplish. And he knew, if they come and get me now and they take me, it's okay. I have done what I was put here to do. And when I read that, I thought, I want to be able to say that. I want that. And I want it more than all this stuff that people think is so important. I want that more than anything that might cost. Do you? I feel like God is offering us today a seed, a child, a ministry, a calling. And some of you already know that there's something that you're called to do, but I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't just happen. That's a false belief system. There's lots and lots and lots of people called who never fulfill their calling. I'm going to venture to say I believe it's most. Because there's certain things we have to do. It's like a prophetic word. God can give me a prophetic word, but it is my choice whether to deliver it. God can give me something that is of him, but it will always be my choice. You know, the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That means a prophet can screw up. They can choose wrong. Can't they? Do you ever see a prophet that's a stinker? I have. Guy could read your mail. I mean, I literally watched this guy. He could say, last night you sat on the edge of your bed and you said this to God, blah, 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 blah. Is that true? Yes. Nailed it. But had a wicked heart. And I was, how can that be? How can that be? Because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. They don't go away. So somebody can come into God, get their gift, and then gradually go to a far country and get stinky, and their gift has not left them. You remember the young prophet and the old prophet? Anybody remember that story? The young prophet, the Lord told him, don't go back that way. Don't go by that road. And the old prophet said, oh yeah, you're supposed to come with me. And he believed the old guy. And it cost him his life. You know what the purpose of that story is to tell you that an old prophet can be a stinker. And don't believe every word you hear. But test it with what? Your relationship. If you don't have a relationship, you're gonna listen to every piece of glop there's all kinds of glop out there. There's a whole hallelujah. I don't know if I should say this. There are entire prophetic postings where it's so mixed. So mixed. Some of it is truly God and some of it is truly flesh. But people who don't know better are just eating all the glop. They're eating everything that comes because they're, you know, bless them, innocent children, and forwarding it on, and it's totally goop. Test the spirits. What did Paul say? Test everything, hold fast to that which is true. How do I test it? Because you're expected to have your own relationship with God. Your pastor can't have a relationship for you. He can point you to how to do it. He can encourage you to do it. He can pray for you to do it. But you have to do it or it ain't gonna happen. Okay? God is looking for a bride, not a secretary. And we think, as the church, that he wants a secretary to do his bidding. Come on, we need to dump that thing. If works ever replace relationship, you become a secretary and you're not the bride. And what does that mean? You've sold your inheritance. You've sold your covenant. Would you rather have been Abraham's secretary or Sarah? Yeah, because the wife gets the fullness. She gets all the covenant rights of the husband. She's the one that she got to be the mother of many nations. Right? Because of Abraham. Not because of her, because of Abraham. There's some things that I got because I married Edgar. Because that was holy. That marriage was birthed in heaven. God did that thing. And it was holy. I don't even think I really knew how holy it was, but there are some things that came upon me because of that match. It was a holy thing from the time I figured it out. I remember one time Edgar and me were not married yet, and he was sure we would be, and I wasn't, you know, I was like, Jesus, you got to really, like, show up. I'm telling you, I don't want to be married yet. Nope, single is fine, thank you. And we were praying together, and we had this, we had some oil, and we were going to take communion, and we had this friend that had been talking to us. He'd been saying this thing, and neither one of us really got it. And this man kept saying, God is marrying the old oil and the new wine. The guy kept saying it to us, and we're like, huh? You know, I didn't get it. Well, Edgar had encounters with oil. Some of you know he had some encounters, supernatural encounters with oil from heaven. There was one time he had oil drip from his hands in a meeting, dripping from his hands. And whoever the drops fell on got healed, like creative miracles. Boom. It was in a full gospel businessmen's meeting. Thousands of people there. It's amazing. Edgar had something of the old oil. I had something of the new wine. God was saying through this guy that he was going to join us. We just didn't get it. So we're taking communion. We're praying. And we have this bowl of oil, anointing oil. It's like a little bowl of olive oil. And I'm going to pour this wine for communion, this grape juice or whatever we had, I don't remember, probably grape juice, and it spilled into the oil. And we looked at each other and went, I think George has some. George was the guy saying, listen, you know, here, old oil, new wine. There is something that is to happen between you and God. Every person in here is being offered a holy communion or union with the Father. You may be partway along in your journey. You may have had some intimacy. Praise the Lord. You may have already received some news about your calling. You may have received impartations about it. But our focus needs to be on Him. What are we doing now, Lord? How about now? What are we doing now? And the more of the stuff we leave outside, the easier it becomes to go in. People who find it go hard to go in sometimes are encased with a root structure of the earth system. And they're like, I want to go in. I don't think God wants me in. I can't go in. Why can't I go in? Are you encumbered with weights that so easily beset you? Are you encumbered by thinking of the world system, thinking thoughts? Come on, even religious thoughts that seem good. Come on. Anybody here? We need to begin to cut, sever. Some of y'all need to cut ties. You know, we want to fly. You know, did you ever see in the, I think it's the Navy, you know, they got a jet that's on a thing, and they actually use these cords, right? Listen, that thing isn't flying until you cut the cord. There's some cords we need to cut. And you say, but that will cost me something. Yeah, but look what you get. I will pay anything to get heaven. I will pay any price to gain heaven. Because when you get heaven, I mean a manifested heaven. Tell me this, what don't you have? Right? God is trying to give his whole body something much higher. The price is intimacy, and the price of intimacy is to stop dating everything else. Not just foul spirits. Yes, foul spirits, but things. Learn how to say no. You know, Warren Buffett, y'all know who Warren Buffett is? One of the greatest investors in the world. I like Warren. He's not a man of God as far as I know, but he has a lot of, he's like 88 years old. And he's just really wise. He has a lot of wisdom. And he said to be a great leader, a great CEO, he's on the board of like every major, I mean, really significant in business. Billionaire, by the way. One of the richest men on the face of the earth. And he said, one of the things every great leader has to do, the first word they must know is the word no. He said, to do this, you have to say no to almost everything. Almost everything has to become no so I can do this one thing. And that is true of heaven. So I don't want heaven and. Now heaven will give me everything. Heaven has given me everything. But heaven has also cost everything. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
So I'm going to, Lori, do you have something you want to add? What's your dream? Are you wasted?
I'm really far gone.
Okay. She's far gone. I didn't mean to swipe your dream, but I felt like Lord is just doing something here. So right now we're just going to change modes and we're just going to go into a bit of what I'll call encounter mode. And I'm going to ask you to lay aside any thought, worry, fear. You know, what Jesus has done, he did so that we could have it free. It's an amazing thing. He didn't just purchase us. He purchased legal right. Legal right for every born-again child of God to receive all, I said all, the blessings of heaven free. If you can get this, you will stop refusing the gifts of heaven because you don't think you're good enough or you don't think you're ready enough. The gifts of heaven, they're called gifts because it's a gift. It's free. You cannot earn it. So I'm going to have you stop measuring yourself, stop comparing yourselves among yourselves and saying, but I did this and I did that. I've got this problem. Of course we do. But the only way to get rid of all that junk is a heavenly encounter, right? The power of heaven is what delivers you. So if that stuff keeps you out, you won't get delivered. But if you go in and say, God, I need some help, God will deliver you, okay? So I'm going to have you lay aside every thought of measuring or why you can't or this never happens to me because it's going to happen to you. I release the power of the Spirit. Lord, these are your children. They are holy unto you. I didn't make them. You made them. You caused them to be born again, made holy, created after the image of your holiness. And in your sight, their inward man, their born-again spirit, is truly pure. It is truly holy. So, Father, I'm not talking about their outsides and their flesh and their problems and their issues. I'm talking about that holy thing that is in them, that person that I want to see, that I want to meet. Sometimes it's been so covered over, we haven't seen the real person. There's some of you, I haven't seen the real you. I've just seen your flesh. And I love your flesh, but I want to see the real you. Your real identity exists in you. And you have not marred it. You have not ruined it. It is still holy and pure. But that needs to come forth in the name of Jesus. Now, the way heaven works is your born-again spirit will connect by the Holy Spirit. He's our communication link with heaven. He's the candle of the Lord. He will connect with your born-again spirit, connecting you with heaven itself. So as I speak, I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes, lean back, relax, and encounter Holy Spirit. And just say, Holy Spirit, I only want what's holy. I want all that you have for me. I want to encounter my Father. I want to see Jesus. I allow you to do anything you want to do in me. Help me to give you everything. Help me to rid myself of worldly things. Help me to see Jesus. I see God imparting vision. I saw fire hit people's eyes, imparting vision. There are some of you that will see while we're here. There are some of you that are going to have encounters over the next days and weeks as Holy Spirit encounters you in your home while you're laying in bed. I saw one person, you were busy. It looked like you were typing on a keyboard, and it actually looked like a kind of an old-fashioned type of thing. And I saw the Holy Spirit begin to swirl around you and like, what is this? You didn't even recognize the way it feels because it was so different. And I saw him wooing you. And just when it happens, you just quietly get up and go hide and lay down. Just go into a room, close the door and lay down. And just be in his presence. Just let him teach you. Let him minister to you. Let him touch you. Heard the word wilderness. And I saw someone coming out of the wilderness. You've been walking for a long time, some long years in the wilderness. And I saw you coming out at the edge of, like, there were trees. And you were walking out of the wilderness area, and I saw the river in front of you. And he said, come into the promised land now. It's been long enough. Long enough, he said, you've spent in the promise, in the wilderness, excuse me. And I'm going to teach you how to cross. It won't be hard. I'm going to teach you how to cross the river. And I'm going to teach you how to live in the promised land because the rules are all different. It won't be what you knew in Egypt. It won't be what you knew in the wilderness. So you're going to have to stick close to me because I'll teach you how to succeed, how to win. He says, you are my child. That has never changed, no matter what you went through, I saw someone you got so beat up in the wilderness that you sort of felt like, am I even God's kid anymore? Does he even care? Is he with me? I mean, I feel like I'm so beat up. He said, oh, you're mine. You're more mine than ever. And he said, you didn't fail and you didn't fall. And look at you. You're still here, still coming, still seeking me in the best way you knew. No, I've never forsaken you. I've never forgotten. And I want to teach you my face. I want to show you my face. And I want to show you how to swim. I want to take you to the oasis of God. A place where I go to relax, he says. I'm going to teach you how to swim and just enjoy. Swimming with God. I want to teach you just how to rest. And I saw an interesting picture. Someone that, you know, Satan's like banging on the window, yelling and screaming. And I saw that as you soak in the waters of God, the voice of the enemy was on the other side of this plexiglass window. It like, his voice became very dim. Lord says, for you are mine. That has never changed. How much I love you has never changed and will never change. But let me take some of that junk off you. Let me take some of the weight, some of the heavy things you've carried, the burdens, the questions, the confusion. I see confusion coming off of somebody right now. I break every work of confusion. That's a spirit, by the way. I break all the questions and all the, what about this, what about that, I have this problem and that problem, what about it, what about it, what about it? And I feel like the Lord is just smiling to you from the water and saying, don't you know that I'm so able, with one word, one sentence, one breath of my mouth, all I'm asking you to do is fellowship with me. And trust me that I know the answer. Then I heard him say, remember, I own you. You were bought with a price, and I say that with great love. You're a treasure, but you're my treasure. I don't want to share. I don't want to share you with troubles and trials and problems. I don't want to share your thoughts and your mind. I want my time. I want you to hang out with me. I want to enjoy you, and I want you to enjoy me. I want us to get to know each other as we swim together. I'll teach you how to swim. I'll teach you how to dive. I'll teach you how to have fun. Some of you need to learn how to have fun. Some of you need to learn how to have fun. You've been altogether too serious. I'm going to teach you how to have fun in the Holy Spirit, how to have fun in the waters of God, how to enjoy me. I invented fun, by the way. I invented humor. I invented laughter. The devil didn't do that. I want to take you to some places you've never gone before, and I want to teach you some things that have to do with who you are, with who I am in you, and with where I want to take you. There's nothing I won't teach you. But for me to teach you, we have to be together. I don't want to teach you through some other person. I want to teach you. I want to teach you. Let's have a relationship. Let's have a fellowship. Let's hang out together. Ask me the questions of your heart. I'll help you. I'll teach you. Say, well, I don't hear well. I'll teach you how to hear. That's what I do. I'll teach you how to hear. I'll teach you the ways of God. I'll teach you the heart of God. I'll teach you to have a relationship. Some of you don't know how to have a relationship. That's okay. I'll teach you that. That's what I do. Holly isn't the only person that should hear. Everyone should hear. Lori isn't the only person that can hear. Everyone should hear and hear well. It's really not about prophetic. It's about relationship. That's what it's about. And the true prophetic is birthed out of having a heart that's one heart with God through relationship and hanging out together and having fun together and puzzling through things together and reasoning together. Come, let us reason together. Bring me your questions and trust that I know how to answer. I know how to touch. I know how to release into you the very thing you need. I know how to heal. I know how to deliver. I know how to do everything. You don't need 14 more sermons. You need me. Because I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. Nothing, 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 nothing can change my love for you. Nothing. You're mine. I love you. You're so dear to me. And I want you to feel my arms around you. I want you to know what it's like to walk in heaven and dance in the joy of the Lord, dancing with the angels. I want you to know what true worship feels like. It's a blast. I want you to see the treasures that are by the throne. I want to show you the treasuries of heaven. I'd like to take you on a tour. I'd like to show you the library full of the books of wisdom of God. I'd like to show you the room of truth and the room of faith. I'd like you to show you your seat, your chair, your place in heaven. Be seated in heavenly places. You have a place, you know. You have a place with your name on it. I'd like to teach you so much. There's so much I want to give to you. So much I want to impart to you. So much I want to correct gently and kindly. But you have to come and let me, okay? You have to come. And I feel like he's just saying, I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. And Father, we want to be the bride, not the secretary. And I believe you hand-gathered the people that were to be here today, that this message was directly for each person that came, that you desire them, not their works. And that as they have relationship, works will flow. Good works flow out of relationship. But I'm asking, Lord, to bring every one of us into a new level of relationship, oneness, and being a true bride, a true bride that loves steadfastly beholding Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.